GM raises its price and Chrysler raises its game.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Taxpayer-owned GM goes public on Thursday, and it's raising its offering price from around $29 a share to around $32 a share, thanks to strong investor demand. Meanwhile, GM's bailed-out competitor Chrysler is rolling out revamped versions of some old favorites, including the Grand Caravan minivan and the Avenger sedan. Italy's Fiat now runs the U.S. carmaker, and it wants to get drivers excited about Chryslers again. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
Some cars have redesigned interiors, while others sport new engines. The company even rechristened the struggling Sebring. It's now the 200 instead, playing off the success of Chrysler's sedan called the 300. Jesse Toprak is an analyst at TrueCar.com.
These are more or less stopgap measures, and I don't think necessarily this is going to cause a big flood to Chrysler dealerships.
But that's exactly what Chrysler needs right now. Marianne Keller is an independent industry analyst. She says a lot of Chrysler sales are to places like rental car companies that are updating their fleets.
For Chrysler to succeed, it cannot rely on fleet customers. That's a stagnant and static market. The growth has to come from a rebound in consumer spending.
There is hope for Chrysler, though. The new Jeep Cherokee has been selling well, and Fiat will introduce a whole new line of Italian vehicles next year. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
New warnings today from the congressional panel that oversees the government's Wall Street bailout. In a report out this morning, it says all the problems we've heard about foreclosure documents could cause a new wave of bank losses. The things that led to the first wave more than 2 years ago are the subject of a new book. It's called All the Devils Are Here, and it's by Joe Nocera of the New York Times and Bethany McLean of Vanity Fair, who joins us now. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to start on June 29th, 2001, a dramatic point in your book. Josh Rosner, who was working at a research firm at the time, starts to discover that people are taking out a lot of subprime mortgages using smaller down payments, and he writes a paper called A Home Without Equity is Just a Rental with Debt, and he gets a call.
He gets a call from a man named Charles Kindleberger, and Charles is a famous guy in Wall Street lore. He wrote a book called Manias, Panics and Crashes. And Josh doesn't realize who this is at first. And Josh thinks, okay, well, fine, I'll meet with him when I have time. And then Kindleberger says his name. And it's really this great moment because it shows you that people who understood bubbles recognized what was forming here as early as 2001.
And all along the way in the book, there are people that catch on to what's going on, and the warnings seem to go unheeded.
It's so often the story in our business world, particularly, where skeptics simply aren't valued, and that's certainly the case here.
Do you think it was regulators not paying attention to what was going on, or did they know what was happening and they just chose to ignore it?
I think regulators chose to ignore the crisis for a couple of reasons. One was this ideology that the market is always right. Secondly, the regulators were extremely susceptible to the arguments that the industry put forward. Derivatives are innovation. Innovation is good. We don't want to squelch innovation. Two, homeownership. Mm-hmm. We need to extend credit to people. We don't want to do anything to stop the flow of credit now, do we?
If the financial reform law that passed this year had been in place, could this whole thing have been avoided?
If the new Consumer Protection Agency had done its job and had seen that people were getting loans they couldn't pay back and said, we're going to stop this, then the tool, the mortgage, which was at the root of this financial crisis, that wouldn't have happened. But I guess what makes me a little bit worried about the future is that in many ways, this wasn't so much a failure of existing regulation as it was a failure of regulators to use the powers they had. I don't know how you argue that past won't be prologue.
The book is All the Devils Are Here, The Hidden History of the Financial Crisis. It's by Joe Nocera of The New York Times and Bethany McLean, who's been talking to us this morning. Bethany McLean, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And by the way, Joe Nocera will talk to Kai Rizdahl about the book and the events that led to the financial crisis tonight on Marketplace. Now let's check the numbers. Markets are down across Europe and Asia right now. An interest rate hike in South Korea raised concerns about inflation in Asia. Yesterday, the Dow gained 9 points to close at 11,201.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. And by the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday.
Apple has scheduled an announcement for this morning that the company says you'll never forget. It's being reported that Beatles music will finally be available for sale at Apple's online music store, iTunes. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports now on why it's taken so long for these two to come together.
Up until now, if you tried to buy Hey Jude or Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds on iTunes, you had to buy versions from a Beatles cover band. But it looks like all roads, even Abbey Road, eventually lead to iTunes. The world's largest music retailer is expected to announce a deal with Beatles record label EMI to sell Beatles music on iTunes. Part of the reason EMI hasn't offered Beatles music online is that it didn't have to. CD sales are far more profitable for record labels than digital music sales. Billboard's Mark Sutherland says this deal, though, isn't entirely about money.
In many ways, it's about becoming relevant. And, you know, more and more people, particularly younger people, this is how they, you know, this is how they buy their music. This is how they listen to their music.
The band and the brand also have a long, litigious history. The Beatles sued Apple back in 1978 over the computer maker's logo and name. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, you know the KFC Double Down sandwich, which replaced the bread buns with fried chicken? Well, here in the U.S., it's been pretty popular, but in Canada, it's the most successful item KFC has ever sold, until yesterday, when KFC's Canadian division pulled it off the menu without explanation. Looks like between this and the limited-time-only McRib, the latest trend in fast food marketing is tough love. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
What if you could combine the excitement of a big win playing Lotto with the practicality of just putting all that money in the bank?
We're giving them an opportunity to redirect that behavior that, frankly, most of us enjoy, the opportunity for a game of chance, the opportunity to win a prize. We're redirecting that to something really constructive.
I'm Kai Rizdal, making banking fun next time on Freakonomics Radio. It's on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.